Daddy, we thank you once again for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness towards us. We thank you for your mercies, oh God. We thank you for your protection. That even as we are about to open your word, we ask, oh God, that you give us understanding and you enlighten our understanding this morning, oh God. Lord, reveal secret things within your word to us this morning. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Like I mentioned last week, this month is our month of divine positioning. And I just want to speak to you about something I've titled, Occupy Your Position. Because everybody has a position that God has for them. If you turn your Bibles, we'll be reading about three scripture readings this morning. We'll start with the book of Psalms 68, verse 6. The Bible states in the book of Psalms 68, verse 6, it states that God sets the solitary in families. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. God sets the solitary, the lonely. God sets them in families. God sets individuals in families. We'll be reading, our second scripture reading is taken from the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 from verse 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. Hallelujah. Okay, are you there with me? Romans chapter 4, verse 12. I'll be reading from verses 4 to 8. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let us use our gifts." Tell them, use your gift. It says, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, or you've been called to pastor a church, or to be an evangelist, or to be a prophet unto the nations, or to be a teacher of the word. It says, our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And we'll also be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, before I begin to share with you what has been laid on my heart this morning. Now, it's a bit long. We'll be reading from 12 to 30. I might skip a couple of verses as we go along. But if you just follow me, or flow with me. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 14, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it not therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members." Remember, we read earlier in Psalm 68, verse 8, God sets the solitary in families. This is saying God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as it pleased. Verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on this we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Let me jump to verse 27 because of time. Okay, 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Like I said to you this morning, I just want to speak about something I've titled, Occupy Your Position. You know, one of the things that I know about God is a strategic God. God is strategic in all he does. There is a reason and purpose behind everything God does in life. There's a reason and purpose behind everything he has done. There's a reason and purpose behind everything he created. And everything, how he mapped out the world, there's a reason. It was planned strategically. If you look at the book of Genesis, the Bible says, I said, let us make man in our own image. He was being strategic. He already had a plan for man. So strategically, he was making man to fulfill a purpose. He was strategic. We may not know or understand the reason of everything he does, but you can be certain that he knows the reason. He was strategic by setting the clouds above and the ground beneath. He was strategic by giving us the sun so that we have light all over the world. And you see, when you think of it, he created the sun in such a way that it serves the whole world. Wherever you are in the world, you are seeing the same sun. Just one. So strategically, he placed the sun in a place where it would give light to the whole world. Is anybody listening to me this morning? He was strategic. He was strategic in setting up the solar system and strategically placed the planets in such a way that they rotate around the sun. He set them in certain places, planted them there for a reason. He was strategic in doing that. He was strategic in creating the various animals so that you have various animals, different types, and strategically created the right environment for them to dwell and flourish. So that he created the fish in such a way that the fish cannot live outside the water. He was strategic. He was strategic and made sure that there's enough water for the fish to live in. And as long as the fish stays in the place where he has created or set it, it would flourish in that place. He was strategic by making the birds to be able to fly and that the birds don't live underwater. He was strategic in all he does. And we need to understand something. That when the Bible states that God sets the solitary in families, we need to understand once again that this is a strategic move of God. When it states that he sets the solitary in families, or you can put it another way, he plants people in certain families. So he plants individual. He sets them in certain families. It's once again a strategic move of God. You see, the fact that God sets an individual in a family means that that particular family is the right environment for that person to dwell. It's the right environment for that person to develop. It is the right environment for them to flourish and to be nourished. So when he sets a person, an individual, in a certain family, he's being strategic because he has a reason and a purpose for doing that. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? As I'm speaking, I know some people might be thinking of, natural families or physical families whereby the family is dysfunctional. And that is not God's fault. It is the fault of the people that are meant to make that family the right environment. Are you getting me? But God is strategic. So you sometimes you have the physical families, you have the church families. And what you find is that for everyone that God sets, that God places, that God sends to a particular church, once again, it is a strategic move of God. For everyone that God has sent and planted as a member of this church, you can be certain that there's a reason and a purpose why God planted you here. Because God does not do anything without a reason or a purpose. Human beings, we wake up in the morning, we do certain things, we don't think about it, we don't have a purpose. Not with God. If God has planted you in a family in King's Court Chapel or any church at all, if you're visiting today, you can be certain that there's a reason, there's a purpose why God planted you in that particular church. He could have placed you anywhere. But he selected a particular church and said, this is where I'm planting my son, my daughter. There's a reason behind it. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You need to understand that you have been divinely positioned. And I use the word divinely positioned. And this is when I say divinely positioned, not everybody has been divinely positioned, but those that know that God has sent them here or have planted them here. And you need to understand that God has divinely positioned you to be a part of this church. You have been divinely positioned in this church by God to be a part of a mandate that God has given us as a church. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You have been divinely positioned in King's Court Chapel to be instrumental in establishing God's kingdom on earth. You can be certain that if God has planted you here, it's a divine positioning so that his kingdom, one way or the other, will be established. You see, when we started the church, it was like a blank puzzle with pieces all over the place. It was like a blank canvas. And God already had the picture. So he had the picture of what he wanted the church to be. He had the picture of how he wants the church to be created. The Bible talks about, in the book of Exodus 25, God told Moses, he said, build according to the pattern I have given you. The same way when God created this church, he had a pattern. He had a picture in mind. But it was like he had a picture, but for us it's like almost blank in quotes. Now, as each person, as people start coming or become members of the church and take their rightful place in Christ, in the church, what you find is that it's like one piece of the puzzle being put in place. Amen? And as each person is meant to be a piece of the puzzle that is slotting into certain places so that the picture God had in mind gradually will start coming into play. And in order for the picture to be complete, we need every piece. I don't know. Have you ever tried to do a puzzle and one or two pieces are missing? That puzzle, the picture cannot be complete. As long as the pieces are missing or they are not in the right place, the picture that was created cannot be complete. Amen? And you need to get this. The family that God placed you in needs you for the picture to be complete. This generation needs you for the picture to be complete. In order for you to fit in properly in God's kingdom, you need the family as well. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? I know this is probably not what you thought when I said divine positioning, but it is part of it. Because it's very key. You see, it's in being positioned rightly in the family that will cause people to come looking for you, or for you to be rightly positioned out in the world or in the marketplace. The picture is not complete without you fitting into the right place that God has designed and cut you out to be. Let me explain. You see, everybody has a place in the kingdom. Everybody has a work that they need to do. Let me repeat that. Everybody has a place, a position in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. Everybody has a role, has a work that they need to do. And what God has fashioned you to do is different from what God has fashioned me to do. I cannot do the things that God has called you to do. Because if I try to do it, I'll be out of position. You cannot do the things that God has called me to do. Because if you try to do it, you'll be out of position. But if you don't do the things God has called you to do, then as a body, we cannot function properly. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read it earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Let me read from 14. It says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" He says, if the foot should say, "Because I'm not the hand, so I'm not part of this body," what would you have? The foot will not be functioning. So the hand will try to walk. Isn't that right? In order for the body to move forward. And obviously, the hand was not created to walk, as in W-A-L-K. So it is out of position. And that would make the body not to function properly. The hand has its functions. The foot has its functions. The head has its functions. The eyes have their own functions. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking of it. That as I was preparing the message, I was thinking, why did God put the eyes on the head? That would be interesting if our eyes were on the foot. Wouldn't that be interesting? But do you know that God is strategic, like I said? Because he strategically placed things. The eyes are praying on the head so that, because the head is sort of the highest part, so that we can see further. So if the foot eyes were on the foot, we probably would be struggling to see beyond a certain... Am I making sense? What am I trying to say? There's something you have. There's something God has given you, which is meant to be used in the body. There's something God has given you, which is meant to be used in this church. There's something God has given you, which is meant to be used in the kingdom of God. Now, you know, as I prepared, I was thinking that, you know, the scripture we read says that if the foot says that I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body. Likewise, if some people that are members of the church think that I'm not a worker, so I shouldn't be doing anything. Oh, I'm not a worker, so I shouldn't really be doing anything in the kingdom of God or in the body of Christ. God has not created any part of the body to be redundant. God has not created any part of the body to be non-functional. Check your body. Every area of your body has a function. The body is complex, so we may not understand the function of each part. But it is until one part breaks down that you realize that the function of that part is important. So if you have people that are Christians that are not functioning in the body of Christ, then there's something wrong. They are causing the body to suffer. Now, you see, you don't have to hold a microphone, you don't have to preach, but there's a function in the body of Christ that you need to. God has divinely positioned you if you are a Christian. God has divinely positioned you as part of the body. As long as you are part of the body of Christ, there's a function you should be playing. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? You know, it's interesting because the unseen parts, the unseen parts are sometimes the most important and critical parts of the body. Let me explain. Can somebody show me their heart physically? You cannot see where your heart is physically. But you know, if the heart stops functioning, that body stops functioning. Do you know that if your liver or kidney stops functioning, that body is in trouble? And sometimes we pay more attention to the parts that we see, the hands, the feet, the foot. But sometimes the unseen parts are key and significant. And sometimes some of us, we think that what we have, it cannot be really seen. It's not visible. So you think, I may not as well operate in that area. Do you know that the unseen parts are quite key? Let me explain. For example, there's a department in this church. All the departments are brilliant. They're doing a brilliant job. But I'll just pick one. Transport department. A lot of people don't see them, apart from the people that they pick up. In fact, the lady that had an accident, she called a member of the transport department. At what time? Was it on Sunday evening? Out of the normal time, call of duty. A lot of us don't see what they do. But what they do is important. The teachers, junior church teachers, a lot of us don't see them because they are not here. But what they're doing there is important. You have a role. Your role might be to be an intercessor. It is, in fact, the intercession is like the heart of the church. A church that is not praying is only playing. Are you with me? And if God has called you to be an intercessor and you are not praying, you are slowing us down as a body. I was talking about the puzzle. Yeah? Can you play it? I did something from the beginning. Okay, pause it. Pause it. I'm going to ask you. Pause it. Just flow with me. Now, imagine that's a puzzle. If you look at it right now, okay, maybe it's I've given the whatever away, but you can't really tell what the full picture is. You cannot really tell what this puzzle will become. What you have there are different pieces. But at this point in time, the pieces are not in their positions. So the picture is not obvious. It's not evident to anyone, the full picture. You can only try to guesstimate some areas. Thank you. But just flow with me. I might tell you to pause here as we go along. Now, as each member comes in, each person begins to fit into their rightful position in the body. Gradually, it starts forming a picture. The jigsaw starts showing that, oh, this slots in there. This slots in here. Pause it for a minute. Oh, no. Okay. Oh, you started from the beginning. Okay. Now, we were at four pieces already. Each, you know, now, if we only have four pieces in place and two are missing, the picture is still not complete. Are you with me? Continue. Thanks. And as each person finds their rightful position, okay, just continue to play. Don't pause it. God bless the multimedia guys. As each piece is slotting into place, what we are having is the position, the picture. And not just, notice that they are not fitting just anywhere. They are finding the rightful, where God has already designed and fashioned them to fit in. The way God has cut them out to be, they just slot in. You see, right now, it's now becoming, that is out of position. So the picture is not right. But as it begins to get back into position, and then we have one left, and one refuses to do what they are meant to do. So it's still floating around and playing around. It's still saying, I want to do this. No, this is where I want to be. Until finally, see, it is still thinking, oh, should I? Oh, should I be? Should I do this? Shouldn't? And then until finally... Finally, what do we have? We see a full picture of what that thing was meant to be. For everybody that God has planted in this church that is not functioning, where God has divinely or meant them to be divinely positioned, what you are doing is you are not cursing us. You are not allowing the picture God created in his mind, the pattern he has for this temple, the pattern he has for the kingdom of God, what he wants to do on earth, you are not causing it to come to pass. For every time you delay in thinking, should I? Shouldn't I? I will wait based on convenience. What you are doing is you are taking longer and causing a delay to the body. And do you know what happens? As long as you are not in position, all of us, not just you, all of us, we are suffering. In fact, the Bible states it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 26. It states, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. So as long as you are not in position, everyone is suffering one way or the other. We all need to begin to occupy the positions God has reserved for us. You know, the interesting thing about the puzzle is that they were caught in such a way that as soon as they find that place, they just slot in. It's like a fish in water. Once you put a fish in water, what does it do? It just begins to, and it's like the natural habitat. And in reality, that's what God wants for each of us. Whereby it's not a struggle, but it's the natural habitat for us. It's what comes to us naturally. So there are some people here that are good administrators, strong administrators. There are some people that are good strategically. Various areas, whatever area you're good at, it is meant to be used to build the kingdom of God. And sometimes it might not necessarily be just in church. Sometimes it's to build a ministry. Sometimes it's to assist in a ministry or something. But there's a role that you're meant to occupy. There's a position that God has divinely reserved for you. But do you know the interesting thing about a puzzle? Do you know that if you lose a piece, you can phone the manufacturer and see whether they have a spare one? Do you know that? You can phone the manufacturer. If you look for the piece, and after some time you phone the manufacturer. Do you know what that means? That God will not, I pray God will not replace you in Jesus' name. Because if you, so if some people, if you are delaying, God will just bring another spare part, another piece, that this piece has gone missing. There's something that you can bring to this body. There's something in you that we need. The way we need you, you need us. You know, in Romans 12, verse 4, Romans 12, verse 4, it's a short message this morning and straight to the point. Romans 12, verse 4. The Bible states that, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. It says all the members, they don't have what? The same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So we are many, but we are one. We are many, but we are one. it's time for us, each person in this place, under the sound of my voice, whether you are a member of King's Court Chapel or you're visiting, or you believe that you you are in another church, wherever, it is time for each one of us to begin to use what God has given us to build his kingdom. It is time to fit into the puzzle and stop being the missing part. That's why the scripture says in verse 6, says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You see, it says, let us use the gift. There's a grace that's been given to you to do what God has given you to do. I said it sometime before. I said, I know what God has called me to do. That's why a lot of times you don't see me trying to sing. I love singing. When I was younger, for some reason, I had a disillusion that I was a very good singer. Unfortunately, I thought my voice was somewhere in between Teddy Pendergrass and Barry White. I'm serious, don't laugh at me. When I was a teenager, I used to think that, I was somewhere in between. So the baritone of Barry White and the sort of softness of soft baritone of Teddy. And even after we started the church, I thought I still could sing. I think until one day, I think it was my son or my daughter. Let me not go there. I can sing. But what am I saying? God has not given me the grace in that area. But when my wife picks up the microphone, God has given her the grace. So what do? I allow her to function in that area as part of the peace. While I step back and function in the area God has given me the grace. The choir members, God has given them the grace to sing in that area. And what am I saying? There's a grace upon your life in a certain area. There's a grace. There's a grace upon your life. For some people, it's just a smile. One of the, I don't remember who it was. There was somebody that visited a church. And I think they became a member. And at some point, I got talking to them. And they mentioned that the first time that the minister that met them was so warm and things like that, and still smiling. And that's one of the reasons why they felt endeared to stay in the church. There's a grace, the person always smiling and things. That is a grace in their life. Even if you can smile, then we just set you by the door, smile. As people are coming in, just smile at them. That for some people, they are coming with a heaviness. They see someone smile and say, you like me. Are you with me? Let me move on. I'm going to summarize in a few minutes. The grace that has been given to you, let us use it for his kingdom. I'll bring this message to a conclusion by just summarizing the things I've said. God sets each part of the body in a certain position. God planted you here. And if you study the scriptures, in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible states that God sets, I believe it's verse 8. The Bible states that God sets Adam or put him in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. Verse 8, Genesis 2:8. It says, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. God set up this church and put you here. Do you know what God put Adam to do in the Garden of Eden? To tend it. The Bible says it did not cause rain to fall because there was no man to tend the ground, to till the ground. But the minute that he created, he caused rain to fall. God put you here to till, to tend. And as you do it, you find out that you yourself, you flourish. What I found out is that people that function in the role or position that God has created for them, they flourish. People that, number one, discover where God has... I'll probably be sharing that in the course of the month about being planted and stuff like that. But people that discover where they have been planted and remain rooted and planted. You see, the Bible talks about the blessed man in Psalm 1. Verse 3, it states something. It says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It says, it shall bear its fruit in its season. It says, it shall not wither. Its leaves shall not wither. When you are planted in the right place, you will bear fruits in your season. And that's how it is. When people discover, I'm preaching my message, so let me move on. So he has set you in this body. It's not by coincidence that you're here. It's not by coincidence that you are a member of this church. It's not by coincidence. Second thing, you know, I'm just summarizing. Every part of the body has a function and a role in making the whole body function. Every part of the body has a role, has a function that causes the whole body to function properly. Every part of the body. You know, I was thinking the other day that what is the purpose of the nails? I don't know fully, but I'm sure that it's doing something. I'm sure there's a reason why we have nails. To scratch. To pick things and various things. I always say to pick things. But there's a purpose. There's a reason why we have nails. The hair on our head. There's a reason why God allows it to grow. Why we have hair. Although we keep on shaving it. But there's a reason. You know, it's usually winter that you discover the reason. During winter, and you step out and your head is cold, you say, wow. Or you go to somewhere very sunny, very hot, and your head is hot, you realize the reason. But there's a reason. Every part of the body. Every part of the body. And sometimes we don't know the reason, but you can be certain that God has a reason for it. How does that apply to you? Me and you. You have a part to play, no matter how insignificant you think that role is. No matter how insignificant. There is nobody that is useless in the body of Christ. I'm summarizing, like I said. If one part of the body is not functioning properly, it creates a problem for the whole body. Every time you're not functioning in the position that God has created you to occupy, it is a problem for the body of Christ. Do you realize that a family, you know, we all come from dysfunctional families one way or the other. But, you know, they use the term dysfunctional families. What does that mean? It's not functioning the way it ought to. And that's what happens if any part of the body is not functioning or not functioning properly. It becomes a dysfunctional body. Amen. There are some people here that are strong in. Some people sit on Facebook every day. Hey, if you enjoy it, we need. Nobody has come up. Oh, Pastor, the social media of the church, we don't update it regularly. You know, if you enjoy it, come every day. Just be putting something. We'll give you the access. And we use that to reach out. The Twitter, tweet. Some people that. You know, there's a role. Nobody would see that you are the one doing it. But you are playing a significant role. Pastor Stumisha was sharing something that she heard. A certain pastor in their church, I think, somebody helps to maintain the tweets or so on a regular basis, keeps it up to date. But somebody in South Africa saw the tweet, called the pastor that, Pastor, can you? He didn't know the guy from wherever. Called him that, I need prayers, prayed for the guy. Based on the tweet reached out. The tweet can make some people give their lives. You may not know it, but there's a role you are fulfilling in the body of Christ by that tweeting on behalf of Christ. Are you with me? And which brings me to the next one, that all the parts are significant. The unseen ones are sometimes the most important parts. I spoke about the transport department. I spoke about the junior church. You know, the guys that pray. Okay? Every Sunday morning. Even if you don't come at 9 o'clock. Even if you don't know how to pray or you haven't been praying, just come. Oh, God, help. Oh, God, let your kingdom come. If you just repeat it, one day you start speaking in tongues if you're in the midst. Huh? The Bible says that Saul, he met the company of prophets. He started prophesying. One day you too, you'll speak in tongues. Oh God, let your presence come in the service. Oh God, touch the lives of they open their ears. That's all you need to say. You are playing a part in the body. And if you feel that the prayer is whatever, come and carry instruments at what time? 8:30. You are playing a part in the body. I will end with this. And I said it earlier. And I want you to live with this. Every part of the body. There is no part of the body that God created to be redundant. There is no, and just go home with this thought. There is no part of the body that God created. Think of your physical body. There is no part of your physical body that God created to be redundant. There is no parts that is meant to be redundant. The same way in the body of Christ, there is no part of the body of Christ that God created to be redundant. You need to find out where God has created you to be and occupy that position. Let's rise up to our feet. Hallelujah. This morning I've spoken about occupying our position in the body of Christ. With all eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You cannot occupy your position in a body that you do not know. And this morning, you have the opportunity to do that, to function aright for what God has created you to be. It will be a first step in the process. With all eyes closed, you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I would like to take that first step. I want you to lift up your hands if you're here this morning and just want to give your life to Christ or accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we say thank you. I thank you for the life of everybody here. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for speaking your word, even as I've spoken concerning occupying our position. I pray, oh God, that everyone under the sound of my voice, we shall begin to discover the position that you have created us to occupy in your body, oh God. And not just discover it, oh God, but we shall occupy it and function effectively in that role, Lord. Almighty God, we just say thank you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give glory to God. Give him glory. Let's give glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Please be seated. We have one thing to do. We want to do a baby dedication this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's with joy, with excitement that we want to rejoice. Are they ready? Are they ready? Okay. It's with joy that we want to rejoice this morning with the Agris. We want to dedicate the first set of twins born in this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Are they? Okay. If they are not ready, then should we? They are ready. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice with them. The Agris, as they come forward, we want to dedicate. Hallelujah. As they come forward with their family and friends.
Come and see the Lord is good. There is nothing. Come and see the Lord is good. Oh, come and see the Lord is good. Everybody, there is nothing he cannot do. Oh, come and see the Lord is good. What shall we do today?
God. You know, we did say this is a year of new dimensions. And it's a new dimension. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. As my wife and I, as if we should just carry them home. But we are finished. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you just stretch forth your hands? Let's begin to pray for both the children. Let's begin to pray God's will concerning their life. Let's begin to thank God that even as this is a year of new dimensions, as they have come into this church and opened the door, being the pioneers, being the first twins in this church, that in their life they shall always be pioneers in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to pray that doors shall be open for them all through their life. Let's begin. I can't hear you praying. Pray while you would pray for your children. Begin to pray God's blessing upon their life. Let's pray that in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Okay, we'll do one after the other. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Daddy, we thank you for the life of Omarion, Olufela, Ogenetega, Taiwo, Orishe Timei. And Lord, we thank you for the life of Oriana, Olushola, Ogenefega, Kende, Orishe Weyimi. Lord, we thank you. Because, oh God, even from their mother's womb, you knew them. Lord, we thank you that from their mother's womb, oh God, just like you spoke concerning Jeremiah, you had already ordained them for a purpose. Lord, we thank you because you know them individually, oh God. And you have a purpose for their life individually. Almighty God, we pray in the name of Jesus that that purpose shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you because even as they have come forth as twins, oh God, we pray that, Lord, double grace shall be upon their life in Jesus' name. Lord, double favor shall be upon their life in the name of Jesus. A double blessing shall be upon their life in the name of Jesus. A double anointing shall be upon their life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, all the days of their life, they shall experience your presence. Amen. Daddy, as their parents, serve you faithfully, O God. Lord, they shall do more than their parents in the name of Jesus. Amen. They shall go further than their parents in the name of Jesus. Almighty God, this day, we bring them before you. Lord, we commit them into your hands. You are the God that neither sleeps nor slumbers. Lord, we know their parents may sleep. They may slumber. But Lord, we pray that you shall continually watch over them. Amen. Lord, we set angels around them right now. And we cover them with the blood of Jesus. We speak your protection over their life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That we declare that, Lord, these children, oh God, Omarion, Oriana, Omarion, populous flourishing. You shall flourish in the name of Jesus. Amen. As the word of God says in the book of Psalm 1, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Amen. You shall bring forth your fruits in the name of Jesus. Amen. You shall grow to become all that God has designed you to be. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Oriana, golden one. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you shall experience the glorious, God's glory upon your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty God, we just say thank you. Even right now, we commit them unto you. In the name of the Father,
amen.
In the name of the Son,
amen.
and in the name of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This day we bring them back unto you, Lord. We give you all the glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now I don't know how I'm going to do this. Because normally I hand them to both parents, but one at a time. Hallelujah. If you just Hallelujah. I commit them, I give them back unto you. And I just want to remind you both that God has given them to you to watch over them, to cherish them, to protect them, and to bring them up in the way of the Lord. I pray that God, that you'll have the wisdom in the name of Jesus. You will not lack any provision that you need in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. All the days of your life, you shall support them spiritually, emotionally, physically, in all ways, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's give glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hey, my God is good. Oh.
I can't see you dancing. How many of you want double blessing in your life, double promotion, double gifting, double honor, double blessing, double praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us give a clap offering. Let us give a clap offering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat. We're taking our offering. I just want to read the scripture from Exodus chapter 35. In verse 5, the Bible says, this is an instruction from God unto Moses. It says, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. And if you jump to verse 21, the Bible says in there, it says that then everyone came whose heart was stirred up, and everyone whose spirit was willing. I just want to stir up your heart this morning. If you look back at the goodness of our God, look back at his faithfulness, he deserves a gift. He deserves the best. So I want to stir up your spirit this morning. Give an offering unto God that will make a difference. The Bible said that Abel gave an offering, a particular offering unto God that made a difference between himself and his brother Cain. So give an offering this morning. And quickly, let me just say this. Somebody was asking me some few weeks ago after service that we always say gifted. You know, that what is gifted and then how much is this gifted? You know, when if you sign a form and you can pick up the form, if you haven't signed the form before, gifted form, please, you can pick up a copy from any of the ushers or just ask them and they'll give you a form. You need to sign that form. You need to be a taxpayer in the UK. You sign that form. Now, that form authorizes us to ask on your behalf, to ask the government on your behalf, for gifted, and that means that for every £1 that you give as an offering, the government will add 28p on top of it. So every £1 you give, there's 28p coming back to the church. So that's why we encourage everyone, you know, to sign the bottom bit of the envelope. But if you sign the bottom bit on the envelope and you don't sign that gifted declaration form, it's null and void. So please, if you haven't signed that form before, ask any of the ushers and they will give you a copy. Just sign it, just your details, the signature and the date, and that's it. And then from then on, the bottom bit on the envelope, just sign it. And every time you give, we can now ask the government, and the government will add 28p. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will bless us as we give in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is our offering ready? As our hearts been stirred up and we have written something that is tangible unto God, let us begin to pray over it in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. It's a command. The scripture we read, the Bible said that the Lord commanded Moses. He said, bring an offering unto the Lord. Begin to speak. But with every command, there's a blessing. With every obedience, there's a blessing. Begin to pray that the blessing that comes with the obedience will be unto you in the name of Jesus. That as you sow this seed, it is a seed. And as seed time and harvest never cease in this earth, so shall it be that there will be a harvest, and that you will reap of a harvest in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray.
What shall we say unto the Lord? All we have to say.
Thank you.
Oh, what shall we say? What shall we say unto the Lord? All we have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh.
We thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
Almighty Father, we thank you.
We thank you.